To begin our time of study tonight, I want to read several verses of Scripture. We'll start in the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and the first verse. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, be followers of God as dear children. Now, the word followers in this text could also be translated imitators. Be imitators of Christ. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Now, in verse 1, it's interesting that we are told to be followers or imitators, taking on the characteristics of Christ, God. And in verse 2, it tells us how to do that. We walk in love, in the same love that Christ loved us with. We give ourselves for the church, for the body of Christ. Our lives are literally to become an offering and a sacrifice. Sometime, if the Lord is willing, I'm going to preach a message on the difference between offerings and sacrifices. Some of the things that we offer to God is really no sacrifice to us at all. So the Lord just, in this verse of Scripture, covered both aspects of it. Our lives are to be offered to God, and it's to be a sacrifice, which he looks at, and he's pleased. When he sees us imitating the Father, it pleases him. And this verse of Scripture is telling us something a little bit more than that. It's showing us in the church today that our example and our standard of comparison as to how we compare our life is God. It's Christ. When we compare ourselves, and one of the reasons that the church is mudded down and weighed down in an era of complacency today, mundane, ordinary averageness that so many Christians are trapped in, it's because they compare themselves among themselves, but the standard that we are to compare our lives by is Jesus. Now turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. The New American Standard translates that. Prepare your mind for action. In order for you to be all that God wants you to be, in order for you to walk in the vision that God has given you, you're going to have to make some tough choices, some tough decisions about your life. You're going to have to decide to raise the standard in your life above the status quo of church normalcy. You're going to have to be better than average. You're going to have to move out a little deeper with God and compare your life to the life of Christ with Jesus as your standard. Prepare your minds for action. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he, God, who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Now I want to read one more. Again, that scripture showing us that the standard by which we are to measure our lives, the standard by which we are to measure our ministries, the standard by which we are to measure our churches is Jesus Christ. He is the standard. When we raise a standard, it must be his standard. When we undertake an effort in life, it must come at his directive. And I don't know about you, but I'm just about tired of living an average Christian life. The title of this lesson, this Bible study tonight, is The Sin of mediocrity. Or you could call it the sin of the status quo. Or you could call it the sin of being average. The sin of being average. And one reason, as we have stated, that many Christians live an average life is because they do not compare themselves with Jesus Christ, but they compare themselves with other people. If you have your Bibles open there, turn to 2 Corinthians 10, and we will read verse 12. Paul writes, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you." Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you tonight. And as we begin this time of studying the Word of God, Lord, we've sensed your presence all day today. And Lord, we ask in this time of teaching that you would manifest yourself again, Lord. Be present with us, Father, to anoint us, to deliver us, to impart into our spirits the vision from the throne of God this evening. Lord, we ask that you impart to everyone under the sound of our voice, God, that they would stir their spirits to rise above the status quo, to rise above averageness, to rise above complacency and mediocrity, and to serve you with all of their heart. Lord, help us tonight to raise the standard in our lives and be all that you have called us to be. And I come to you giving you all the praise and the glory, asking it in Jesus' name. And everybody would say, amen and amen. Praise God. Now in Matthew 5, I just want to read Matthew 5, 21 and 22. We spoke on this a while ago in a message on being better than average. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is drumming it home to the church today that we must rise above. Amen? We must quit comparing our lives to the lives of those around us. Quit comparing our church to the church down the street. Quit comparing our ministry to what God has somebody else doing. And each of us individually keep Jesus as our focus. I heard a wise man say one time, where your attention goes, where your focus goes, the power flows. Why don't y'all say that with me? Where your attention goes, where your focus goes, the power flows. And so as we compare ourselves with what Jesus is, and we begin to focus on him, and he begins to impart vision into our lives, he begins to impart dreams into our hearts, then we begin to focus on that, what he has told us to do. That's where the power of God will come to carry us into our destiny in God. That's an awesome responsibility for you and I today as members of the kingdom of God, because so many in the world look at us and they see us as just average church members. And I've often asked myself here of late, you know, where has the power gone? Where today are the shadow healings that we read about in the book of Acts? I know that there's going to be a generation on the face of the earth in the last days that will reenact the book of Acts. And if we are to be that people, glory to his name, we have to separate ourselves unto him in holiness, focusing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And God is sending forth a clarion call in these last hours of human history to do just that. Every one of us that name the name of Jesus have the potential within our lives to touch this planet, to touch our generation for the cause of Christ. Every one of us. Nobody needs to be left out, and yet there will be some who will be left out. And if you are left out of this last great end time harvest, it will be because of choices and decisions that you make. And God help us today. God help all of us. God help us to love one another, to encourage and strengthen one another so that we can have the part in this end time revival that God has prepared for us. Every one of you that are listening to me right now, God has a specific part that he has prepared for you to fulfill. He has a job for you to do in this last day's harvest, and he wants you to be centered in on his will so that you are ready to go do it. And God help us to not miss God, to not miss out on God. Now, let's read in Matthew 5. Verse 21, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Let me ask you a question. What contribution are you making that will last for eternity? I wonder at times if the world will be a better place because I have passed through it. What about your life? Do you stand above the crowd? This text from Matthew points to a scriptural, spiritual principle. Here's what God's telling us. He's telling us, go beyond what's required and be better than average. Go beyond murdering. That's average. You know, anybody knows you ought not to murder. But God said, that's average. I'm telling you, he said, don't hate. Go beyond stealing. That's the average. That's the minimum amount required. Don't steal. But I'm telling you, God said, don't covet. Don't lust after other people's things. Go beyond committing adultery. That's average. And Jesus said, don't even look on a woman to lust after her. You read that fifth chapter of Matthew starting at verse 21 and going through the rest of the chapter. Christians have been caught in the trap of averageness. Christians have been stuck in the rut of mediocrity because we compare ourselves to others instead of Christ. I want to share with you in this simple little message tonight three reasons why being average is sinful. Now remember the title of our lesson, The Sin of Being Average. The sin of the status quo. The sin of mediocrity. I want to give you three reasons why it's a sin for us to live on such a low plane. How many of you that are listening to me right now know anyone that all they ever do in life is only that minimum amount that is required of them? How many of you on your job have people like that? How many in your family are like that? And I'm telling you tonight that God is calling us as his people to rise above the minimum requirements of life and to excel into his greatness. Glory to God. To excel into his destiny that he has planned for each one of us. No, as I said before, nobody needs to be left behind. Not one hoof needs to be left behind, praise God. When we come out of Egypt, glory to his name, we aren't leaving a single solitary thing behind. And the only way that you need to get left behind is if you make choices and decisions to get out of God's will and to disobey the word of God. The first reason, it's very It's very dry up here, so I've got about 3 glasses of water that I'm probably going to consume during this message, so bear with me. The first reason that it's a sin to be average is because those who are average fellowship with failure. In order to maintain average, at times we rise above average, but other times we fall below the average into failure. God does not want his people. God does not want his church to fail. He said in St. John 10:10, the thief, the devil, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come, Jesus said, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Abundant life is God's guarantee for you. When you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, not simply your Savior, and that's wonderful, the absolute key to all of this is for you to be born again into the kingdom of God. Born again by the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. Get you in. Get you started on the right path. Get you on the road to your destiny in God. And that's the starting place. But it doesn't stop there. There's more required. If you want to rise above the average, if you want to rise above the status quo of just the normal church member, then you need to stop today and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Now, when he's Lord, that means he's king. That means he's master. That means he's commander-in-chief, amen? That means he is the one that guides us by the power of his Spirit. And as we obey him, we then discover the best of both worlds. We discover the best that he has for us, and we also discover our potential. You'll never really know who you are until you know who Jesus is. You'll never really know what you are until you know God. You'll never really know how you can be all that you can possibly be. I like that little army slogan. Be all that you can be in the army. There's only one thing I'd change about that. Be all that you can be in the army of the Lord. As we endeavor to bring our lives into fellowship with Christ, we little by little lose our fellowship with failure. Jesus has planned an abundant life for all who will follow after him, who will imitate him as dear children. Jesus hates the average. Jesus hates mediocrity. He hates the status quo. He wants us to rise far above the world's standards. Sometimes I hear parents that'll say, my little kid steals, but that's normal. Well, I always ask them, according to whose standard is that normal? See, I don't think it's normal at all. I think you have to teach a child stealing is wrong. If you're going to win in the game of life, if you're going to run the race of life and finish strong, you're going to have to make a commitment to teach your children according to God's ways and not according to the ways of the world. It might be normal for children in the world to steal, but it's not normal for a child of God to steal. And that goes back to what we said at the beginning of this message. We don't compare ourselves to each other, and I'm glad. I don't want anybody to compare their life to mine. Don't compare the way you live by the way I live. Let us all compare ourselves with Jesus Christ. He's the standard. And the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. And who makes the decision as to the way a child should go? God does. Train up your child in the way that God says they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. The Bible also says, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. We teach our children these things and stop looking at what other people are doing and compare your life, your home, your business, your ministry, your church, your job performance, compare it to the standard of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Jesus hates average. He wants us to rise far above the world's standards. Have you ever noticed that he never said, Jesus never said that he came so that we might just survive? Jesus didn't come so we could just get by. He came that we might have abundant life, and he desires that we go beyond surviving. That's average. And his desire is that we prosper in all that we do. 3 John verse 2 tells us that. If you're average, that means you fellowship with failure. And God doesn't want you to be a failure. God does not call failures. Now, you might have failed when God called you, and you might have been living a lifestyle of failure when God called you, but if you'll follow him, if you will allow the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ to lead you, to command your steps in righteous paths, he'll lead you into success and prosperity, and he will lead you into abundant living. We can do without a lot of things that this world has to offer. I don't need a mansion to be happy. I don't need a Cadillac or a Rolls Royce or a DC-3 airplane. I don't need a lot of things to be happy. I can do without a lot of that. I don't need $5,000 suits of clothes. But there's one thing, my friend, today that I cannot do without. Jesus. I can't do without his mercy. I can't do without his love. I can't do without his forgiveness. I can't do without his love. I've got to have him in my life as the central figure of all that I am. The second reason that it's a sin to be average. It's a sin to fellowship with the status quo of the normal routine of what we would call church membership. It's a sin because it will take above average people to raise our world from where it is to where God wants it to be. Now let me say that again. It's going to take above average people to raise our world from where it is to where God wants it to be. If the world doesn't look at your life as a Christian, as a child of God, if the world cannot look at your life and see a difference, if they can't see the standard of Christ being lived through your life, what is there left to give them any hope? What is there left to point the way? What light is there left to shine if yours is not shining for Christ? See? We do a tremendous disservice to the Lord when we just desire to do the minimum amount that's required of us. We go to church. We throw a couple bucks in the offering plate. We sit and listen to a couple sermons. Maybe every once in a while we watch Billy Graham on television. You know, maybe every once in a while we say a kind word or something to a passerby on the street, or whatever it is that we're doing to justify ourselves that we're a Christian. You know, but it's very difficult for me to accept the fact that you are a Christian because you look pretty at the starting line. The Bible says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And you know how that's really translated? He that endures to the end was saved in the beginning. He that endures to the end was saved all along. It's not how we start the race. It's not, our salvation is not in the fact of us just doing just enough to get by. Just being a church member. God wants to plant a vision in your life that will change this generation. God wants us to lift the average of our world. Look at it this way. In the school, if you get an A on one test and an F on another, your average is probably going to be about a C minus. Now, it doesn't matter that on one paper you got an A, you experienced failure on another paper, and it brought you down to where you are average. And if you become satisfied with that, it's called complacency. It's called mediocrity. If you become satisfied with the fact that you are now an average student, you can never rise above that C. But you cannot go through your life and make a solid C. Nobody lives their entire life a C. Sometimes they're a B and sometimes they're a D. Sometimes they're an A and sometimes they're an F. They're up and down and up and down. And God has something better for us than that. Can you say amen? God wants us to be above average just so that the world can stay at average, because they live below average. It's a terrible thing when Christians are entering the divorce courts. I mean, it's sad. It's sad because if we cannot make a commitment to each other, how can we make a lasting commitment to God? It's a terrible thing when Christians are running around to the honky-tonks and the discos, to the movie theaters that are showing ungodly films. There's some films that are good to watch. There's other films that you shouldn't even look at. You should turn them off. How tragic it is when a leader in the body of Christ falls into sin. The Bible says that sin will entangle our walk with God, our running this race of faith. Sin will stop us. Sin will kill our vision. If our light doesn't shine, whose light is going to? Jesus made a statement in a scripture. I'd like to turn to it if I can find it. I didn't have this plan, but the Lord just brought it to my attention. Oh, I don't know where it is. He said, if the light that is in you, I'm going to try to quote it as best I can from memory. If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Do you catch what he's saying there? If the light that is in you is really darkness, let's read here Matthew 6, verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The only standard that the world has to go by is the Jesus that they can see in us. It makes it a terrible tragedy when we refuse to obey the Word of God, we refuse to let the Holy Spirit lead us, and we lower our standards. And nowadays, in some churches, just about anything goes. Nowadays, there's some people that are on this kick, don't preach about sin anymore. I want to tell you something. Sin is just as bad today as it was 2,000 years ago. Sin will kill you just as well as it'll kill any old sinner out there. Sin will damn your soul to hell just as well as it will a sinner on the street that doesn't know Jesus, never heard of Jesus. If the light that is in us is darkness, if the world looks at us and they see nothing but averageness, nothing but status quo, puffed up, proud religion. And we go to church on Sunday and we worship God. We praise His name. We throw a few bucks in the plate and we go right outside and we start wagging that old long gossiping tongue. I hope that you're not shouting just because I'm preaching good now. Yeah, we go to church on Sunday. We stand in the presence of a holy God. We call ourselves the temple of the Holy Spirit. and we lie and we cheat and we do evil Monday through Saturday. I'm telling you, there's got to be a people left in the earth that will cut off all ties to this world system and will stand up as the holy people of God and say, we refuse to lie. We refuse to steal. We refuse to gossip. We refuse to be tearing down. We only wish to build up people in the name of the Lord. Now, we come against sin, but we never come against the sinner. It's an amazing thing. Your Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know it, John 3:16. The word for world there, he's not talking about the crust of the earth. He's not talking about the planet. He's talking about, the Greek word is thalassa, the people of the world. God so loved the world's people. But yet, the Bible tells us he hates sin. He cannot even stand in the presence of sin. So, church, when we're coming against the sin of this generation, this society in which we live, when we come against sin anywhere, we must never forget that we're called to love the sinner. Amen. And our purpose in exposing sin and standing against sin is not to hurt the individual, it's to restore their life to God. As we issue the clarion call of the Bible, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Praise his name. When we repent of our sin and turn unto Jesus Christ, our lives will be restored, thank God. And that's the business that we're called to be in. But if the world looks at us and sees nothing but averageness, nothing but mediocrity, complacency. Well, why are you going to church today? Well, because it's Sunday. See, I believe God wants you to have a bigger vision than that. There's got to be a people in the earth that will stand up for holiness and righteousness. There's got to be a people in the earth that will pray, that will cry out to God to send revival. Oh God, heal us of our sins and forgive us and wash us in the blood and send your spirit for revival. But what does the average church member do? They pray for about 10 minutes a day. For too long now in the church, we've prayed for 10 minutes and preached for 10 hours and saw no results. This is a generation that has boasted so much and produced so little. We should pray for 10 hours and preach for 10 minutes like Peter did on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were saved into the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? If the darkness that is in you, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? It's time that we stand up for Christ and make a difference in our world. It's time that we let God put his vision back in us. A vision of the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. To lay hands on the sick and see them recover. To cast out devils. To speak with new tongues. And that's more than just a prayer language, brother. That also means the old filthy way of talking that we did before we got saved, we don't do that anymore. The old gossip, we don't do that anymore, praise God. It's time we get a vision of the Great Commission. And God has a tailor-made vision just for you. The Bible says in the last days that God's going to pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. This is the last of the last days. We're the terminal generation, and God is restoring vision to the earth. The Bible says in the book of Malachi, the last prophecy of the Old Testament, that in the last days he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. That's a vision, brother. And it's going to take above average people to launch out into that vision, that dream that comes from God, and to finish strong in our lives for Christ and to make the vision come to pass. Shikalabaha. To make the vision, even though it tarries for a season, if you'll grab a hold of God's vision for your life, it'll certainly come to pass. It's going to take above average people to raise our world from where it is to where God wants it to be. How do you think, do you think God wants a world filled with cocaine addicts and prostitutes and homosexual slaves? Do you think God wants a world of violence and hatred and abuse? Do you think that's the kind of world that God wants? Of course not. God cannot even stand in the presence of sin, but yet he loves those people. And that's why he told us as his church, he said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are what holds this whole thing together. If you will let your light shine, if you'll rise above the averageness, if you'll rise above the mediocrity, if you'll rise above the status quo and be what God wants you to be, then we can see a great, great change in this generation. We can see God take this world where he wants it to be all along. You know, God's desire and what's going to ultimately happen is God desires to take man back to the beginning. God said, I declared the end from the beginning. At the beginning of time, the creation of the world, God already knew what the end was going to be because he's going to take man back to the beginning. The first two gifts that God ever gave humanity, he gave him dominion and authority in the earth, and he gave him seed to sow. But because of sin, because of the fall, man gave that dominion to the devil. And Jesus came to restore that dominion to our lives. And it's in his name, in the authority of his name, that we can go out and conquer territory for God. We've got to act upon the impetus of the vision of the Holy Spirit. The leading, the Bible says in the book of Romans, the true child of God, it's in Romans chapter 8, I believe, the true child of God are those who let the Spirit of God lead them. Now, that's not the way the King James reads. That's the New Century Version. But the King James Version says something like that, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And it's not that we go out and do our own thing. And it's not that we go out and pump ourselves up and try to be something mighty in the earth, because that won't work. We go out anointed by the Holy Spirit in obedience to the will and the word of God and become salt and light to this generation. Hallelujah to God. It's time for us, church, to rise above being average. It's time to repent of the sin of averageness in our lives. I believe it's a time for creativity and innovation, new ideas and excellence to begin in the church. Excelling into the excellence of God. And the third reason that it's a sin to be average is because we make our world worse by being average, because there's no one left to counteract all that is below average. God's people can do better than the world's average. More is expected of us than of the world, not because we are better, but because our standard is higher. Our example should rise far above the world's average. Christ is the standard which lifts us up above average. Hallelujah. God expects more of us because he has empowered us with his Holy Spirit. He has filled us with the love of his Son. He's defeated sin and death on the cross. and given us the good news to take to the world. You talk about an exciting life. I feel sorry for those of you that are living such a boring, drab life, and you're always sad and down and miserable. I'm telling you, we are good news bearers. Hallelujah. We are the standard bearers of the final generation. If we'll rise up above the status quo, if we'll allow the Holy Spirit to shake us from our complacent sleep, and begin to move as the church in the earth. Glory to God forever. In this age, we have more wealth, more media to communicate the gospel, more people to take the gospel to the world than ever before in history. And Luke 12 and 48 says, to whom much is given, much is required. I've just begun in my own life within the last year to wake up to the fact that I can't live the same way that I did 5 years ago. I can't pray the way I did 5 years ago. I can't study the Word of God the way I did 5 years ago. I cannot live on the level of a bygone day. God is wanting to raise our standards, to raise us up above the status quo of the rest of this world and excel us into excellence in these last days. It's a sin to be average. It's a sin to become complacent in our walk with Christ. I believe with all my heart that God is launching some visions tonight. I believe as we take a hold of the word that's gone forth from God tonight, that He wants to launch us into a new beginning, a new anointing, a fresh touch, a fresh move in our lives. And He wants to catapult us into the destiny that He's prepared for us. Hallelujah to God. I want you to ask yourself some questions. It's a sin for the church to be mediocre, so we'd better be better than average, but are you content with your Christian life? Are you really making a difference in this generation? The news media has labeled this generation Generation X. Well, being that they stuck that name on you, young people, why don't you just stand up and tell them this? If I'm going to be a Generation Xer, I'm going to be a Generation X sinner. Hallelujah. Why don't you come and give your heart to Christ, and you don't have to be X anything, praise God, except X sinner. And you are the future in the church. You're the future Pauls and the future Peters and the future Billy Grahams and the future Kenneth Hagins and the future Lester Summeralls. If they're going to put a label on you, why don't you just rise above average, huh? Why don't you just get up a little higher? Set your goals a little bit higher and say, well, if I'm a Generation Xer, then I'm a Generation X sinner. I've exchanged, there's a good word for you, I've exchanged my sin for His righteousness. Generation X. I've exchanged my drugs for the Holy Spirit of God. There's a good exchange for you. I'm excited about what God's doing in this generation. You're not X anything except X sinner. And there's an awful lot of young people right now that are on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ and winning souls faster than you can count them almost. Praise God. But they are the ones who have risen above the status quo, who have determined not to be average in their life, but rather to excel in the excellence of God. Hallelujah. Are you really making a difference in your generation? Where you work, are you making a difference there? Are you really making a difference in your family? Or is it just averageness that would characterize your life? Do you rise above the average? Is the world a better place because of your Christian commitment? Whew. Do you stand among the faithful, brave, and true? You know, everybody likes to read about those heroic people, and everybody gets romantic about brave people and faithful people and heroic efforts and all of this. But do you realize that that can be a characteristic of your life with God? Are you really making a difference? Would this world be a better place because you've passed through it? And finally, to the lost, see Christ in you? Do the lost see Christ in you? I pray they do. That's my prayer for me. It's my prayer for you. That as we walk through these last days, the final closing moments of human destiny, that we would be allowed, because of obedience to God, to be laborers in the harvest. What an honor. What a privilege. What a vision. That God would count us faithful, brave, and true, and that He would pour into us His vision for the final harvest. Father, as I close this little message tonight, I'm not through preaching. I could preach for another hour. But I know Your Holy Spirit is telling me to close it down. I just pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, Lord, make us ready. Lord, make us faithful. Father God, give us the courage to live above the average and beyond our best. Oh God, we turn right now and we repent right now, God, of our best. We want Your best. God, we repent and we turn right now from our ability. God, we want Your ability. Oh, Father, give us the courage to live above average and beyond our best. Father, give us the Holy Spirit to empower us to change our world for Jesus, to impact our generation. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray right now that You'd take this simple message and drive it to the hearts of Your people. Move, Holy Spirit, into the hearts and lives of thousands, thousands, thousands right now. Imparting vision, imparting truth. A divine impartation, I believe, has taken place tonight. And God, we thank You for it. And we praise You for it, Lord. And I ask right now that You touch each soul that's listening. And you know, I never close a message but what I give an invitation. If you don't know Christ, why don't you make Him the Lord of your life today? Why don't you make Him your Lord and your Savior today? He wants to be. He wants to be. He loves you so much. Just ask Him to come into your heart and to forgive you of your sin and repent of that thing. That means change your mind and begin to obey Christ. Begin to walk with Him, and the Holy Spirit will come in and lead you into greatness in God. And please write to us